Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got a loaded show for you here today. A lot to get to with the Preds game last night. We'll start with that here in just a second. Pat Bradley from the SEC Network will join us at 7:30. We'll get into the NCAA tournament with him. Call Your Shot Friday coming up at 7:45. So we'll take your bold predictions all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock. Terry Crisp at 8:30. Weekend winners at 9:30. So a loaded show for you here today on Robbie and Rex Road. And as always, streaming live on YouTube, on Periscope, and on Twitch as well. Joe Rex Road, how in the world are we?
We're doing all right. You know, we didn't even talk before the show, and I'm not caught up. Everything turned out all right with the tornadoes. Yes?
In our area.
I know in Alabama there was some bad stuff.
Right. But I think in our area we were okay.
Five people and two dogs packed into a tiny bathroom in my home last night.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah.
We got real close. And actually I was worried about the McFarlands because he lives in Smyrna and there was a tornado spotted there.
Yeah.
But it looks like nothing terrible.
Right. So thankful for that, and it was one. You know, I was watching the Preds game from my house, keeping one eye on the TV, one eye on the weather. It never got too bad where I live in Greenbrier, but certainly, I mean, I saw some video coming out from Birmingham yesterday, and some of the damage there is just crazy. So obviously, we're very familiar with that around these parts and in this area, and once you get to this time of year, weather starts getting a little hairy out there.
There were a lot of social media photos from East Nashville, South Nashville, you know, right around downtown where there was a lot of wind damage.
Yep.
For sure.
Yeah.
So
the hail was actually even like, I mean, so close to us. It was someone posted on Facebook like hail like this big.
Oh, yeah.
See, we can do this with the camera.
Yes.
I mean, big hail. So.
And there was a video yesterday that somebody took, I guess, looking towards downtown, and you can see like the storm cell coming in, and it's just like this giant cloud engulfing Nashville. It was crazy, and it was kind of a little bit cool as well, just to see Mother Nature and what it could do. But thankful that the damage around here and the destruction and certainly the loss of life was not what we saw in Alabama, because it got bad down in Alabama yesterday. So thankful for that, and we'll continue to monitor the weather throughout the rest of the spring here. I mean, once you get to springtime here in Middle Tennessee, you never know. It could happen in a hurry, as we've noticed here in this area. Joe, what'd you think of the Preds last night? 7-1 winners against the Detroit Red Wings. Mm-hmm. Rocco Grimaldi, 4 goals. And we'll talk about Preds pick the click coming up here in a minute, because it was a rough night for me again. But, man, what a performance. Rocco Grimaldi hadn't had a point in 15 games, comes out there, scores 4 times last night for the Predators.
Yeah. I mean, and well, off-the-grid guy.
He
was an off-the-grid.
Yes.
Off-the-grid choice.
Picked the wrong one.
Olivier scores again.
Yep, alrighty, yeah.
Did the Preds not stink? Did the Preds not stink now? Are the Preds kind of okay now?
1-5 out of 6. Playing pretty well now. You know, you look at the standings, and Chicago won last night as well. So this sets up a huge, huge weekend for this team. You've got Chicago twice. You're going to have Chicago 6 more times coming up. So these games are going to be massive. Columbus gets a point last night against Carolina. They lose in overtime. But if you're the Predators, you got to be feeling great right now. Saros continues to play well. You've won 5 out of 6. You've still had a ton of injuries out there, but it hasn't mattered. As of late, the offense with the explosion last night, and Grimaldi, I mean, it was one of those things where once he got that first one, it just kind of felt like everything that he touched was going to go in. I mean, he got the fourth one in the third. He had a chance for a fifth one. He was at the end of his shift. He didn't have anything left in the tank, and he had a 2-on-1 with Trennan. He was really close to the fifth one as well. ties the franchise record. Eric Nystrom for four goals. I think it was back in January of 2014. Against the Calgary Flames.
Sorry, Nystrom and Grimaldi stand alone.
That's it. So all these players that have rolled through here with Philip Forsberg and Paul Kariya and Peter Forsberg, you got Rocco Grimaldi, Eric Nystrom, the only ones that have gotten to four goals.
Yeah, crazy. And my pick to click was right there on the doorstep. You know, the year of Yarny doesn't work out, but Granlund trying to get him the puck, and it goes in the net.
Yeah, my pick to click was a disaster, and I knew it would be as soon as I made the pick yesterday because Eli Tolvanen was on the table, and I still believe by design from Ryan Porth, Eli Tolvanen was on the table, and I had an opportunity to select him. And Pred's pick to click yesterday brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, and I didn't do it. You told me to go off the board, so I went off the board, and I chose Colton Sissons, and I swear to you, as soon as Eli Tolvanen got the puck on the power play in the first period, I started yelling. My dog ran off, and it was before the puck even went in the net. I knew he was going to score, and he did. And then Twitter, I mean, it was just wonderful last night with Twitter. And as soon as Tolvanen scored, tweets were rolling in to me about Preds pick to click. And later on in the game, people were tweeting, "Hey, Robbie, we're rooting for you, buddy. Rooting for Colton Sissons out there to go score." That's the place we've reached with Preds Twitter on Preds pick to click. There's a lot of sympathy and pity for me at this point.
Well, and you had an excited Sissons on the power play.
I did. Late in the game, Colton Sissons on the power play did not amount to anything. But I thought maybe with it being 6-1 at that point, there could be a chance.
I mean, it's pretty amazing that they scored seven goals. that there would ever be a time when four different people can pick a goal scorer for a team, and then that team scores seven goals that night.
And nobody gets anything.
You know? I mean, that alone is pretty amazing.
And we've also gotten to the point now where, like, Ryan Porth has taken way too much joy in this. Like, he's watching me suffer in Preds pick to click. The smile on his face right now. As soon as Tolvanen scored last night, the text thread that you and I are in with him. I mean, he's just way too excited about this.
It helps him forget that he has one.
Yes.
He's, like, happy as a clam. He has one.
Well, what do I say every time?
One's better than none.
One is greater than zero.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I mean, it's factually correct.
I think this is actually hurting your growth, Ryan. See, you taking pleasure in his misery. You could be flourishing right now as a Preds pick to click participant, but you're just.
I mean, you
wallowing
also,
in his misery.
You also had the chance yesterday to select Eli Tolvanen.
Yeah.
And went with Ryan Johansson.
I was daring you to take Tolvanen after Joe kept feeding you the mindset of going off the board.
Yeah. Well, it turns out Joe was right about going off the board. If I would have just taken Rocco Grimaldi.
Yeah, we didn't tell him to take Sissons. We said go off the board.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it would have been even more spectacular if there were seven different goal scorers.
And I didn't get any.
And none of us got any.
Yeah. You got into
spectacular is one word for it.
Got into the depths of the third pairing and stuff like that.
Ben Harper rolling in goals out there. I'm beginning to wonder, like, is this ever going to happen? I mean, I'm running out of time. There's not much time left.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, it really is.
You've gotten, what, five correct at this point?
Yeah. And it's been a while. I mean, I haven't had one in a long
time. No, you had one. You had one last week.
Oh, yeah. I guess it was last week. Okay. Yeah. I was stuck on four.
Been a while. Been a week.
I was stuck on four for a while.
You were.
I mean, the listeners, we're at our, again, there's two tournaments going on right now. How many more opportunities do we have of weekday games?
Well, there's like 6 weeks left.
Yeah.
So they're averaging probably, what, two games per week on a weekday?
About a dozen, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, hey, that's time for you to win this thing going away.
You're right. It is. I'm inspired again.
So you went off the board. So, again, do the Costanza next time.
I don't know if I should listen to you.
No, but whatever your instinct is, if it was Sissons, now don't go with that. See?
Well, that's the thing. My instinct wasn't Sissons yesterday. I was planning on taking Eric Halla, and I just blurted out Colton Sissons. Like, Colton Sissons! All right, cool.
Okay.
Halla with two assists last night.
Yeah, but still, you would have been just as frustrated with Halla then.
Yeah, I would have been.
Okay. I don't know.
Waiting for Halla to score, too. I was like, man, I swear, if Eric Halla scores tonight, But it was hilarious. Like, as soon as Tolvanen got the puck, I was like, okay, here we go.
I guess I guess you should just play the odds at this point. But it's almost like if you go off the board and you even just get one all year,
it's probably worth it.
And it's one of your off the board picks. Yeah.
Like, if I would have taken,
that'd be magical.
If I'd have taken Matthew Olivier last night and he scores, I feel like that's impressive. It's impressive.
I mean, at this point, anything yes. that you would get correct and Preds pick the click would be impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're rooting for you, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate that. John Hines talked about the win last night and the performance by Rocco Grimaldi. 4 goals, the second time in franchise history that a player has reached 4 goals with the Nashville Predators. Here's what Predators head coach John Hines had to say.
I thought the first few shifts, Detroit really, they put us on our heels a little bit in the D zone. I thought we defended well. And then, you know, once we got up and running and Rocco was flying, obviously, in the first period, it was nice to see him get the goals. And I think it might be the fastest hat trick in franchise history now. I think he bypassed Sullivan, I believe. So, you know, that was pretty special. I think it was the fastest 3 goals, I think, what was it, 45 seconds in franchise history. So pretty special by the group tonight. Rocco was flying, and it did. It brought a ton of energy to our team and a ton of energy to the building. And as you said, you know, we talked in between the first and second period, and I just, the way that the team responded to start the second period and the way we played the third period, I thought just showed a lot of guys buying in, playing the right way, doing the right things, playing for each other. You know, I thought as the game went on, we continued to play the right way. And I think that's a mark of a group that's really committed to each other.
Did they put the microphone inside his mouth? The drawing in of air right there. Was that what? Am I losing it? Or was that like incredibly loud?
It was a breathtaking performance from Rocco Grimaldi.
My goodness. Am I wrong on that?
No, you're right.
A couple times it hurt my ears.
You're wrong. Or you're right about it.
I'm sorry that distracted me from what he was saying.
It's okay.
That becomes a drop. Stop it. Oh, God.
With that in mind, we'll continue the discussion on the Predators when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025.
If anybody can see this.
Streaming live on YouTube, on Periscope, and on Twitch as well.
I don't know if you can see it. You probably can't see this, but it says, shh, no one cares.
Great pink coffee
mug. My pink coffee mug today. Thank you.
From Joe Rexroad. We'll do that when we come back. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook and the tournament down to just 16 teams. So if you've been watching from the sidelines, now is your chance to get in on the action. FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking you up with exclusive 30-1 odds on all 16 teams left in the bracket, even the top seeds. That's right, new users, 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game this round. You can win $150 on a $5 bet. So maybe you like some of the favorites, like a Baylor or a Gonzaga, Alabama shooting the lights out as well. You can go that way on the FanDuel Sportsbook. All you got to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and make your first deposit to unlock exclusive 30-1 odds. The app is so easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up with promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. A $10 first deposit required. Max bonus of $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Back through to center. Here come the Predators, 2-on-2. Haula in front. Grimaldi scores. What a beautiful play. Stealing the puck behind the net. Going to the left side. They set the score. Lifting the puck out from low along the left side. And here again is Rocco Grimaldi to make it 3-0. From the angle instead, and off it comes out of Grimaldi. And folks, at 8:08 of the first period, Rocco Grimaldi has himself a hat trick. Here's Grimaldi breaking in, looking for his fourth. He gets it! Rocco Grimaldi tying Eric Nystrom with a 4-goal night.
What a night last night from Rocco Grimaldi. 4 goals for the Nashville Predators, including a hat trick within the first 8 minutes and 8 seconds of the game. Pretty incredible stuff. From the first goal to the third goal from Grimaldi last night, a span of 2 minutes and 34 seconds.
Anyone on the text line, did you recognize the song the Porth just played in honor of Grimaldi?
Well, let us know.
That's a little bit of a, you know, spur-of-the-moment trivia question.
Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad already coming out of the gate with a trivia question. I like it. We'll have another one coming up for you, by the way, at 9:45 today for some Free Beer Friday to give away. A $25 Bavarian Beer House gift card located at Opry Mills Mall. Ryan Porth is excited about this trivia question as well.
An official one, yes.
Yes.
I'm sure it'll be very good. Was Rocco, was he paying tribute to the Vingans? Who
could be.
Young Little Vingan on the way?
Yeah.
Do you like my name for Little Vingan?
Rocco Vingan?
Well, that actually probably would make sense, but no, Leitner Vingan.
Oh, I did see that. Yes, that was good. I'd say that's at least a possibility for Vingan at this point. Congratulations to the Vingans, by the way.
Yes. It's got to be. I mean, it's got to be a Duke player. Leitner Vingan could be boy or girl.
What about Krzyzewski?
Yeah. Zion?
K? Just K?
Justice.
K Vingan?
Yeah.
Zion? Grayson?
Oh, man.
JJ.
Yeah.
Let's think of all the most punchable Dukies.
Yes.
JJ Vingan has a nice ring to it.
It does. Yeah.
It does. I'm going to stick with Leitner, though. Leitner Vingan.
Yeah.
Late as a, like Vingan is all the time showing up to the games.
Well, he is that.
I'm just kidding. He actually isn't, but whatever.
He's later than you and me. Vingan shows up about 6:20 for a 7 o'clock start.
Yeah. And that's true. Actually, I've beaten him there quite a few back when I used to go to the games.
Exactly. Yes.
Getting vaccinated today, so.
There you go. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to the Vingans as well.
And congratulations to all.
Congratulations to Rocco Grimaldi as well. 4 goals last night. It was amazing. Like, it was one of those games, and it's really cool that it happened against the Red Wings. He used to be a part of, like, the Little Caesars program in Detroit, and he talked after the game last night a little bit about, you know, just growing up, a kid from California, moved to Michigan, became a Red Wings fan, and, you know, you got Mickey Redmond on the call, Kenny Daniels on the call as well, that he grew up watching, and then last night he knows they're calling the game as well. Just a really cool thing from Rocco Grimaldi, and you could tell, like, he's been frustrated with how this season has gone for him. The offensive production hasn't been there up until last night. He's even found himself out of the lineup at times this year, too, as a healthy scratch. But he stuck with it. As I said, 15 games in a row without even a single point for Rocco Grimaldi before last night. And, you know, we've gone this whole season without any player scoring 4 goals. And then the last 2 nights, you've had 2 players score 4 goals in a league. So pretty cool. And one of those nights that if you were there, and a couple of my friends were at the game last night, that's one of those games that you won't forget going to when you have a performance like that from Rocco Grimaldi.
Glad you brought up Mickey Redmond. Absolute legend.
He is.
Gosh, I wonder how he's doing. All those years, he'd get frustrated when they'd, like, lose a game every once in a while.
It's been a heck of a reality check
lately. Hang in there, Mickey.
That's probably my other takeaway from last night. My goodness, were the Red Wings bad. Oh, my God. And Jeff Blashill, Red Wings coach, God bless him. But after the game, I mean, he was talking about it. He's like, well, we had a lot of no-shows tonight. Nobody brought their A, B, or C game. And I was like, well, all righty. You tell him, coach. Look, I get it. Their roster has been bad. And it's been bad for a while. I wonder about him and how much longer he's got left there.
He's on that short list because again, it's most of it's not his fault. But then when you get to the point where even when you express that kind of frustration in your guys, doesn't sound like you're reaching them very well.
Well, it's a repetitive cycle of just ineptitude from this group. And again, there's not much there to work with from a roster standpoint, so I get it. But they are bad. And credit to the Predators. I mean, we've talked about this and how the script has played out against the Red Wings this year. You've won the first game, and then you followed it up losing the second game in the series. They left no doubt last night. I mean, we heard John Hines in the last segment talk about how the first couple of shifts of the game, Detroit was good and had them on their heels. I agree. Saros made some big saves really early in the game. And then the Predators took off. And, you know, you look at the goals that have been scored. It's 4-1 after the first period, and you think that's their best period. I thought the Predators, from a flow of game standpoint, they got better in the second. They got better in the third. So they built on the performance last night. That, to me, is encouraging because they've not done that too often this year. They started well and continued to build, and I thought they did that last night. And they've been doing that more often as of late.
Yeah, you got just to take care of a bad team that has been a – really has actually been a problem for these guys in the last few years randomly,
yeah,
making no sense at all, is I think that's significant. Just thump a bad team. And this weekend, I think, is setting up to – I don't know about change things dramatically, but I think that the attention on this team shifts if they have a good weekend.
I think so, too. And we'll talk about that a little bit more coming up and get your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. But it is interesting because you're also getting to the point with this group where you would assume some guys are getting close to coming back or being healthy. I mean, we talked to Matt Duchesne on Wednesday and said, you know, he's been skating. He's been able to go full out. Did say that he kind of plateaued this past week, and it may be another week or so before he's back in there. So I don't know exactly how close he is. I would, based on those comments, would be surprised if he's in this weekend against Chicago. But he can't be that far away. I wouldn't imagine that Luke Cunningham is that far away either, based on the timetables that were given when the injuries first came out. So all of a sudden, you're going to have some decisions to make if you're John Hines coming up that I think could be a whole lot tougher than they would have been this time 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay, so when those guys are in, who's out?
That's a good question, man. Like, I think Rocco Grimaldi honestly would have been a candidate at one point. He just scored 4 last night. Now you take him out.
Sorry, Rocco. You should have scored 5,
yeah,
buddy.
He scored 5. Like, I think he would have been among the candidates that you take out of the lineup. He scored 4 goals last night. So probably not going to take him out for the foreseeable future. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, you look at the lineup right now at forward. I mean, the wild card continues to be Granlund and some of these guys on expiring contracts. Like, are you going to move on from him?
That would make it easier.
It would make it easier to make those decisions.
If you move Granlund.
Like, are you going to move on from him? You keeping him around and waiting right up until the deadline? Because remember, the team that Granlund keeps getting rumored with the most is Toronto. And yeah, if that's going to happen, I mean, you've got to be getting close to it.
Right.
I mean, it's March 26th. So I keep kind of keeping one eye on that. But if that doesn't happen, I don't know. I don't know what you do if you're John Hines, because this lineup is playing really well right now. Like, it's difficult for me to imagine, and I don't think it's going to happen, that Matt Duchesne will be available for this team and will be able to play. And they're just like, nope, no thanks. You stay over there. Like, I can't envision that happening. But they've got some tough decisions on who to take out of this lineup right now. Maybe Nick Cousins is a guy you could take out. But a lot of forwards playing well right now. A lot of forwards playing a lot better than we've seen them play at any other time this year. And typically, I think you look to the fourth line for some of these discussions.
How are you going to mess
with Olivier?
The fourth line
is playing pretty well right now.
Yeah, are you gonna? And who wants to go tell like Trennan or Olivier that you have
exactly
to sit down?
Yeah,
maybe Sissons because maybe he didn't score for you.
Well,
but then who's center?
How
in the
can you hold
line?
That against him though? He was kind of doomed from the start when
that's,
I picked him.
Yeah, no, that's true. It actually it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
I think is what they call it.
Yes.
So again, Ellie Tolvanen owes you a fruit basket.
Thank you. But definitely not taking him out of the lineup. That's 8 goals for Ellie Tolvanen now. And by the way, got another one called
Rocco
back last
night.
Rocco
has 7 now, by the way.
Yeah, he does. He started with 3 last night. Now has 7. Tolvanen got another goal called back last night because Forsberg was about, I don't know, 1/4 of an inch offside. And he was offside, but almost 2 goals for Ellie Tolvanen last night. So it could have been 8-1.
Yeah, that's honestly, like, you look at it and it's like, you know, like it's almost like making the deal for Granlund would simplify things, and it might not really hurt you the way you're playing at all, right? I mean, Duchesne has to come in and play well when he comes
sure
back. But he'll be joining, well, I shouldn't say this because we don't know how the weekend's going to go, but right now he would be joining a team that has a lot of momentum.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of this weekend, a huge set coming up this weekend for the Predators in Chicago. What do we need to see against the Blackhawks to convince us that this team is actually a contender for the playoffs? We'll discuss that coming up. Take your reaction as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Ryan Porth coming back with a little Smash Mouth version of I'm a Believer. You know what movie that's from, Porth?
Shrek.
Oh, yeah.
Shrek 1?
Yeah, Shrek 1.
Shrek 1.
The first one?
Yeah. I am shocked you've actually seen Shrek.
I love Shrek.
I did, too.
I thought that was a great animated movie.
Yeah, me too.
You're right.
Eddie Murphy action with Donkey was great.
Yeah, I liked most of them. They started to get not as good.
Yeah.
I don't remember how many there were.
They got progressively worse. Yeah.
Yeah, but
Shrek 2 was
Shrek
not
was
bad.
Okay. Pretty good. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying the movies got progressively worse.
Well, that's usually what happens with sequels.
Usually.
I mean, the one with Justin Timberlake as the little snotty prince, that was pretty good. Yeah. It made me laugh a lot.
Versatile, Justin Timberlake.
Very versatile. It was him, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about it?
All right.
Well done, boys, on your music selection. By the way, no response on our text line to your trivia question.
Come on, no one?
Yeah.
Four Sticks, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
There it is.
So,
I thought there'd be, yeah. Oh, well, never mind. I thought there'd be a Zeppelin fan out there who would have appreciated that. Don't they ever say the word Four Sticks in the song, but
maybe not. Talking Preds right now, and taking your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And all of a sudden, Joe, you look at the standings, and Predators have won 5 out of their last 6 games. They're 16-17-1 on the season, and now 4 points behind the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, Chicago has beaten Florida in 2 games in a row now. Alex Barkov has not been there to play for Florida. Obviously, that's a gigantic loss for the Panthers. So the Blackhawks, to their credit, have been able to take advantage of that with Barkov out of the lineup, and they sit at 37 points. As I said, Columbus loses in overtime last night, so they get 1 point. So the standings are this. You've got the top 3 in Tampa Bay, Carolina, and Florida. Chicago holding down the 4 spot at 37 points. Columbus are 3 points behind them at 34 points, and the Predators at 33 points, 1 point behind the Blue Jackets, 4 points behind the Chicago Blackhawks, and 3 points ahead of the Dallas Stars, who got a big win last night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So things are starting to kind of come into picture here in the Central Division, and that sets up a gigantic weekend set for the Predators coming up on the road Saturday and Sunday against the Chicago Blackhawks. So, Joe, we talked about how we viewed this team all season long and how we view them long-term as well. As you look ahead at this matchup specifically for the Predators coming up against the Blackhawks, who they've only seen 2 times to this point all season long, what do you need to see from them in terms of results, in terms of the way that they play this weekend, for you to start to believe in them as maybe being able to contend, number 1, for the playoffs, and maybe number 2, in the playoffs?
Well, okay, those are 2 very different things.
They are.
For the playoffs, yes, it's possible. I mean, they're in there, and the way things have shaken out, Dallas obviously has been banged up and disappointing. Like you said, that's a big win for them. Maybe that's a positive sign for them, but right now it's 1 win. You know? I mean, Tampa Bay is going to lose a game here and there. They've lost 7 times this year. But it's very clearly your top 3, and then you got your wild race for the 4th spot. I mean, I think the Preds need to take 3 out of 4 points. You know, right now they both have played 34 games. They're 4 points back. You know, I mean, I think if they can make that 2-point gain by getting 3 out of 4 points, then I think you feel like, okay, I mean, they got the better of the Blackhawks in the series, and they're still moving in a positive direction. So the way they're playing is what you want to see. I mean, I think the way they're playing is really good. You could always just say, well, it was the Red Wings. But again, it's been the Red Wings who have also stymied this team many times. So I think that that's still a very positive sign that they just came out and thrashed them like that. So that's it. Get 3 out of 4 points. As far as in the playoffs, I mean, I'm not – until I see it happen, I'm not going to buy this team, you know, hanging with having a chance to beat Tampa Bay in a first-round series. I guess we should also say, I mean, the Hurricanes have a game in hand and they're 3 points behind the Lightning. So it's not like it's a runaway. We just know who the best team is. When they are at their best, they are the best. The defending champs for a reason.
And maybe not just in this division, maybe the entire league as well. I mean, they're really, really good. I think we know that. Now, to your point, I'm not sure there's anything the Predators can do as they move forward here to convince me that they're going to take down a Tampa Bay or a Carolina in the first round of the playoffs. I'd probably have to see that to believe that. But getting into the playoffs, I mean – sure. I mean, I think Chicago, this how they match up against Chicago is going to be really interesting because those six games, I mean, they could determine by themselves who the four seed ends up being here. I mean, Columbus, as you look ahead here, their schedule, they're going to be playing some games against Tampa and against Carolina. They've got some tough games coming up. The Predators, you've got to maximize your points against Chicago if you're gonna get in the playoffs. Like, it's as simple as that. Like, if you go out this weekend and you get swept by Chicago and you go from 4 points back to 8 points back, I mean, that's a gigantic kick to the teeth right there. And all of this momentum that we've talked about and you're trying to claw your way back into, you know, the race here, you lose two games this weekend in regulation and it goes from 4 to 8, all of a sudden, that momentum gets halted very quickly.
Yeah, it'll end up being about a week of us talking about the playoffs.
Right.
So, this is your chance. I will say, this is where this wild one-year setup is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because in a normal season, with this much season left, there might be, what, one game against the Blackhawks left? What do you play, what, five against your division? Am I right about that? In a full year?
Six? Six, yeah.
5 or 6? Is that right?
I think it is 5, yeah. 5.
Okay. So you'd have 1 or 2 left.
Yeah.
And they'd be big games. But now it's like, here you go. You got a whole bunch. It's almost like you have your own little mini playoff series against each other to determine this. Not that that's the, you know, not that they're the only two teams involved, but those games are going to be huge. And I think it's cool to have more games like that rather than just sort of be all over the map. You know, once you get into a race like this.
Well, I agree. And you know, taking it a step further beyond just this weekend, you've got Chicago on the road, and you've got two at home next week against Dallas, who's right behind you right now. So these games are important, too. They've got games in hand. And then you're back against Chicago next Saturday as well. So these next 5 games here for the Predators are about as big as it gets. And it's a credit to them that we're having this conversation because – you know, this time a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, the concept of big games for the Predators to me was out the window, and they fought their way back in. You won 5 out of 6, and now you've got a chance to get yourself back in that mix for a playoff spot. But these next 5, absolutely crucial for the Nashville Predators. Ryan Porth, as you look at the Predators right now and the run they've been on, winning 5 of their last 6, and now heading into a crucial matchup against the Hawks coming up this weekend, what do you need to see to start believing that maybe they're a contender?
I need to see UC Saros continue to play the way he is. Because UC Saros has these stretches where he looks fantastic.
Yep.
And then he'll kind of come back to earth a little bit. And not to say that he needs to keep up this pace of what, like a 980 save percentage in his last 4 games. I mean, it's insane. But, I mean, we know that this Predators franchise for years has thrived off of great goaltending, and UC Saros has been nothing short of spectacular ever since he returned from injury, but it's 4 games. So can they continue to play well in front of him? I've always been big on that UC Saros plays almost as well as the team plays in front of him on most nights. Can they continue to play to this identity that they've kind of formed here in the last few weeks where they are becoming tougher to play against than they ever were in the first 2 months of the year?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And what's going to be interesting about this as when they do start to get some bodies back, It could just be inevitable that that save percentage, it's not could just be, it is inevitable that the save percentage they've had the last four or five games, it's going to come down. Like, you're going to start to let in some more goals just because, I mean, the pace that Saros has been on since he's come back, to Porter's point, is insane. And that's going to come down at some point. But if it comes down and, like, coincides with Duchesne coming back in and, like, Cunning coming back in, people are going to freak out. They're going to lose their mind.
No doubt. But the other thing, too, not only UC Saros, but they have been doing this in the last six games without Philip Forsberg being that much of a factor.
Yep.
If Forsberg gets hot again, then they could go on a run here where they win 9 of 11 or 10 of 12.
Yeah. And he was single-handedly carrying them for most of the start of this season offensively. And he's kind of run into a slide as of late. Now, he did score a couple of games ago, but he's run into a slide as of late, and he had an assist last night. So, continuing to put up points, I guess the slide's not as bad as I thought. But he's not taking over.
Right. We all know in the first 2 months of the year, he was basically the only one doing anything offensively.
Right, and that's not the case anymore. So, that's encouraging if you're the Predators. You can't just rely on one guy to carry you that way. But, to your point, we've seen him get hot this season and in his career. If he does it again, all of a sudden, you could be cooking with some fish grease, as TD likes to put it. I like that.
What about the whole Saros thing? Boiler Bob tweeted at me, you know, didn't Adam Vingan say Saros is not a starting goaltender in the NHL? Now, I corrected him. I think what he said was he's not the long-term answer at starter for the Preds.
Correct. And I'm still not convinced that he is.
Neither am I. I would say he's not.
Yeah, I mean.
But credit to him. The guy's playing
great.
I mean, it's not like UC Saros has been – he's been good. He's been fine.
Yeah.
But obviously, you want to find the next Pecorine.
Right. And if he played like this all the time, there'd be no conversation. But the problem is, sometimes he plays like this, and sometimes he's got a save percentage hovering around 848. I mean, you're asking for some middle ground.
There's a pretty big – we got a pretty big sample size now of Saros, right?
Yeah.
So, hey, at some point, does it mean that a player can't at some point take it to another level and keep it there? I'm not saying he can.
And he is only 25.
Right. So, anything's possible. I didn't think that this year we would ever have a segment talking about the Preds in the playoffs in late March.
Yeah. But here we are.
So, just keep an open mind. And you know, if you've been hate-watching Preds fans, you know, just enjoy it.
Try to enjoy it.
It's your hockey team, you know. Doesn't mean that they're going to go get some rentals now at the trading deadline for the run to the playoffs.
Now, you start to see it a little bit last night on Twitter, and our good friend the Ultimate Predator, he was convinced he's no longer wants to sell last night. He was not alone.
Boy.
I've seen some of that last night.
Oh boy.
The poll question we asked about the hard sell and the soft sell yesterday, it ended up around 80% of people wanting to sell. Which is, I mean, in a poll, it's a pretty significant amount of people. I wonder what it would be today.
79%?
I think it'd be around maybe. Like 74, 73. I do.
That game takes 6% down?
You should have seen Twitter last night, man. I'm telling you.
Because Rocco Grimaldi goes nuts, and so it's like, uh-oh.
You know, people can be reactionary.
What's Preds Facebook talking about?
I don't get on that place.
Is Vegas going to take James Neal from us? Like, what are they talking about right now?
I don't know. Could be. When we come back, we will switch gears and talk a little football. A former Titan on the move. What do we make of that signing? What does he have left of the tank? We'll talk about it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. And we've talked a lot about the Predators so far in the show. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. But Joe, a former Tennessee Titan on the move yesterday, and I was very interested to see where this player would end up. Malcolm Butler signing a one-year deal with the Arizona Cardinals. The deal could be worth up to $6 million, according to Jeremy Fowler from ESPN. So Patrick Peterson gone in Arizona. Malcolm Butler coming in. And I guess, as I look around that roster, are going to be the top cornerback for the Cardinals in Arizona. So the Cardinals bringing in J.J. Watt. You've got Malcolm Butler in the fold now as well. What do you think of this move for Malcolm Butler going to Arizona? And what do you think of the money involved with the deal being worth up to $6 million?
That's probably about right. Is J.J. still there?
I don't know. That's a good question.
The reunion of Titans. Titans in the
defensive
backfield?
I would have to think no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about right. I think that's...
He's a free agent.
I think he's worth about $6, $7 million right now.
J.J.?
No. No, probably not.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
Although, I'm sure he's like a, you know, like a good coach.
Yeah.
Player coach.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like Butch was a you know, I'm sure an asset to Nick Saban.
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm sure
Alabama.
He was.
But for Butler, yeah, that's about right, probably.
I'm interested to see how he does this year because we've talked about it and we were having the debate between Malcolm Butler and Adoree Jackson. And now that Butler is signed, we know the destination for the two of them. Adoree Jackson ends up in New York, Malcolm Butler with the Arizona Cardinals. I'm interested to see which one has the better year. Obviously, that has to do, a lot to do with the team that you're on and the circumstances around you. I think we would agree Arizona a better team at this point than the New York Giants are, but also in a more difficult division as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I'm interested to see how Butler does because I think what a lot of Titans fans were worried about when we talked about the discussion between Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler was Malcolm Butler's age. And once you get on the other side of 30 as a cornerback, I mean, the drop-off can come pretty rapidly. He's 31 years old, had a great season last year for the Titans. If he plays anything like he did last year, he's going to be a great asset for the Arizona Cardinals. But at 31, could he be in danger of just falling off the table, not being able to run anymore, and getting exposed that way? I'm interested to see how Malcolm Butler responds this year in Arizona. The nice warm heat of the Arizona desert.
So do these contracts from both of these guys mean I was right?
I mean, maybe. I guess so.
I mean, I'll choose to look at it that way.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
I mean, the Giants. Adoree's getting paid a whole lot more than Malcolm Butler.
Yeah.
Now, Adoree's also getting paid incredibly too much, but he's getting paid a whole lot more than Malcolm Butler for sure.
Agree. I mean, Adoree is probably ideally. To me, he's about an $8 million a year corner, and Butler's probably about a $6 million a year corner. It's probably about right.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's going in different directions. I mean, Butler is older and maybe, maybe slowing down here a little bit. And Adoree Jackson is, I still think, as good as he wants to be to a certain point. I think he can be a number one corner in this league. So we'll see. Giants obviously think so, too.
They do, and Adoree Jackson still only 25. Like it's really amazing to think about it because it feels to me like Adoree Jackson's been around for a long time. He's 25 years old. He'll be 26 in September of next year. But he's getting paid like a number one cornerback right now. He's got to play like it, and I'm very fascinated to see how this goes in New York with the Giants.
And this will get annoying, too, and it always does. But like now Adoree, for a lot of people, he sucked. He was never any good.
Yeah,
so glad he's gone.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, right now, you look at I went on DDC yesterday.
Yes.
And was asked, it was a good question by Chase, like, what's the weakest position on this team? And I had to think about it for a minute, but, yeah, it's got to be corner, right? I mean, isn't corner the obvious answer at this point?
Corner
right at this moment?
Yeah, right at this moment. I mean, even receiver's got A.J. Brown, so you feel good about that. Josh Reynolds.
I mean, but at least you got A.J. Brown.
Exactly.
So I'm putting that ahead of corner. I mean, right now, look, Janoris Jenkins is a fine reaction to losing those guys. I think he'll be okay. He's getting older, man.
Yeah.
And I have no idea on Christian Fulton. I know that they must think a lot of Christian Fulton.
Sure. I mean, well, Janoris Jenkins is older than Malcolm Butler. He's 32.
Right. It's cheaper, but sure. Yes. No, I know. I like Janoris Jenkins. I think he's always been a really competitive. It really is kind of like just a cheaper Malcolm Butler.
Yeah.
Right?
Same sort of style.
Yeah.
The way they play. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's fine. Christian Fulton, so much on him. And then TBD. I mean, and that will be different after the draft. Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about it, but they need to pick well. And right now, that's the we. What's the strongest position? What would you say the strongest position on the team?
The strongest position on the team? I mean, am I allowed to say quarterback or running back?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I should have told you that up front.
Okay. If it's not quarterback or running back, the strongest position, I would probably say offensive line.
That was my answer. That was my answer.
Look at that.
You feel really good about four of the five pieces.
Yeah. Still, I think, a big question at right tackle.
I think you feel really good about three of the five pieces.
Ben Jones is a little up in the air.
But, yeah, Ben Jones is a leader and a veteran.
Sure.
And a gritty guy. I mean, at some point. But you also, I think, Aaron Brewer is someone they've found, along with, like, a Sombrilo. I mean, they've found some depth guys that have been solid.
Well, and also, like, as good as Nate Davis was last year, he's 24. I think he could continue to get better.
Oh, yeah.
And continue to develop. I mean, I think he's turning into a really, really good guard in the National Football League.
I mean,
we talked about it a lot at the end of last year, how early on for Nate Davis in his career, it was a struggle. And then he figured it out towards the end of his first year. And last year, I thought he was rock solid from start to finish. And I still think there's room for growth.
Yeah, it's Lawan and you got a star and you got maybe a rising star. And Saffold is awfully good.
Yeah.
But right tackle is still where you wonder. Sombrilo did talk the other day and talked about, he was very vague about plans or where he might fit in. And just getting ready for the season. But he is a guy who's played over there too. So I would suspect that it would be a Lamb-Sombrilo competition at this point, not knowing what might happen in the draft. But I think that's possible.
How close were you in the position you feel the worst about right now for the Titans was tight end, a point of that discussion for you? I mean, you've got Ferkser back. You've got Swain back. I know you feel good about those two, but you know you need more than that to compete at that position.
Yeah, I should have thought of that, actually.
Would you put it ahead of corner? I'd still probably give corner the edge.
I'd give corner the edge. I mean, right now you have Kevin Johnson as a starter.
Yeah, it's not good.
And you know, Chris Jackson is coming back. Chris Jackson may actually end up being a safety depth guy. That is possible. But, yeah, it's not good. I mean, Swaim is fine. Ferkser is a good receiver. It's a position that badly needs addressing. That's probably a good two, strong two. But we don't know with Christian Fulton. I've seen him run. He runs well. Seen him play some. Looked like a rookie who hadn't been playing a lot. So, you know, that can change with him. But until he shows something different, I think that's a big problem, that position.
No love for Breon Borders?
Yeah, Breon Borders is
– yeah.
He had some good moments last year.
He did.
You know, he liked playing against Phillip Rivers.
Yes,
although I think he forfeited a gift Phillip Rivers gave him, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
But he got one back later.
Yeah, yeah. So – Breon Borders. I feel like the Titans over the last few years have been like they've had some decent guys as their
depth corners.
Yeah, like Ty Smith was okay. Yeah. Kareem Orr, you know, like not bad. It's just that it's just hard to find the top line guys, and they don't have them right now.
They do not, and we'll see if they'll go out and get one maybe in the draft. Talked a lot about J.C. Horn yesterday. That's going to be, I think, a very popular name with Titans fans as we move forward here. When we come back, the Josh Heupel era officially, I guess, underway at this point. Spring practice at Tennessee. A noticeable absence yesterday for the Tennessee Vols as well. We'll discuss that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.